Okay, our daf today is Yudalet. We're going to start at Yud Gimel Amabet, four lines from the top. I'm just going to review quickly. If you want, we could follow just on the sheet, just to remind us what we were up to. So the Mishnah said, they quoted a Mishnah that said, the Orez Docham Pragin Shumshumin, that the date for those items, which are kitniot, are Zman Hashrasha. Okay, which then Rabbah said, I understand to what category does that fall into, because we have Ilan, goes after Chanata, which we just saw the picture in the back of the Morot Apayomi, which is when the fruit starts coming out after the, when a tree buds, right, the flower comes out, then the fruit comes out after that. That's the date where Ilanot go by. The Tvuah and the Zeitim go by Shlish, which we learned out already why. And the Yerek goes by Lakita, when you actually pick it. Today we're going to get a little bit more into those distinctions and the background behind it. So he said, so which is this according to you? So the answer given was that mitoch shasuim prachim prachim az rabbanan batar shrasha, that there's no actual time, that as those plants, what happens is you plant them and then they start to grow and then they shoot out other shoots and they start to grow and things start growing at all different times. And then also what we said was that they also get collected at different times. You collect them and then you take out the seeds from them because you're really using only the seeds. And the pile gets bigger and bigger over the course of time until you actually bring it in. So then Abai asks, so why don't we collect everything together, mix it all up really, really well, and then, right, the problem again, let's go back, the problem with having a big pile with it all mixed is that then you're going to take Trumat HaMasra from the Chadash al HaYashan and the Shan al HaChadash, and that was the whole idea. The year means this is the year cutoff point. We can no longer take Trumat HaMasra from one on the other. So what do you then do? He said mix up really, really, really well, and that should work. So then he says, so why don't we offer that option? And the answer given was, that's Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's opinion, but that's not the general opinion because Rabbanan hold Ein Bila. Okay, you can't mix things up. That's basically, we did a little bit longer, well, farther, but that's basically the end of my summary. Now we're going to start inside. Okay, so the answer is you can't offer that option because the rabbis hold you can't mix things up. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says you can't mix things up. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri basically holds by probability the likelihood of taking out more, you know, a few items from a large pile, the likelihood of you having some of the stuff you're taking out are going to be the new and some will be the old is highly probable, and therefore there's no problem. Now you have to, I heard that I think the Chazon Ish asked this question or kind of says that based on this, if you had a pile of exactly 100 and you were taking out, you know, or for your truma, let's say you're taking out two actual particles, right? What are the chances? At that point, the probability is much less. If you take out two, you might actually be taking out two old ones or two new ones, and it becomes more of a problem. Okay, now we have the Psikat Halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani in the name of Shmuel. And now we're going to see three statements of Shmuel. What we're going to then say is, why did Shmuel have to say all three of these? Why couldn't you have learned one from the other and one from the other and two, the third from the first two and the second from the other two? We're going to have all different variations of that. So now we have, if you look in five lines from the bottom, six lines, Amar Shmuel halacha ki Rabbi Yossi ben Kefar Shamar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Okay, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. That's what he says in the name of Shmuel. Matkifla Rabbi Zera. Could Shmuel really have said that we hold up Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that basically yesh bila, right? That we can mix them up together. We hold like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, not the yesh bila, right? What did Rabbi Yosef ben Kifar say in the name of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri? He gave this case of the Pula Mitzri, right? And what did he say? He gave this option of mix them all up together, right? And then you can be assumed that when you're taking your Truma Namasot, that it mixes up. So then he says, "Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi Vahar Amar Shmuel Lakol Ein Bilah Chutz Miyayim B'Shemen." Shmuel says somewhere else that you can't use this concept of mixing; it only works for liquids because liquids really get mixed up together. Again, here I saw an explanation that said if you just pour one onto the other, that doesn't work. It has to actually be mixed, even when you're talking about liquids. The assumption being that liquids mix up much more easily and you're not taking out individual items. So how could he say that we hold, like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, in which case you can mix the tvuah, right? And when he says, l'kolein bilach l'tmiyayim v'shemen. So now they say, ishtemitite hada amar Shmuel. He forgot, Rabbi Zera forgot, that Shmuel also says, hakol holech achar gmar pri. Okay, so what does that mean? If we say, hakol holech achar gmar pri, then the kidneyot don't go by hashrasha. Okay, and if they don't go by hashrasha, then what do they go by? Gmar pri. If they go by Gmar Pri, now the reason here that he passes like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri that you can mix them all up is not because of Bila, it's not because of the mixed up issue, it's because they were all, it goes by Gmar Pri, and the Gmar Pri all happened in this case after Rosh Hashanah. Because here, what was the issue? Pula mitzrish shezura o lezera, miksato shrish lefnei Rosh Hashanah, u miksato shrish l'achar Rosh Hashanah, right? Ein trominu masru mizel zeh. But what do? You mix them up together. So what do they say? Mixing them up together, here you have an issue that it's true, some were mashrish before Hashanah, some were mashrish after Rosh Hashanah, but that's not the issue. According to Shmuel, hakol lechachar gmar pri. So even if some were before Rosh Hashanah, some were after Rosh Hashanah, these all were ripened after Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about a pile, right? Again, what's the issue? This pile built up over time. But the pile built up after Rosh Hashanah. All of it. The issue was only, when was it Nishrash? When did it take root? That happened way before. At that point, we have no way, when we start putting them into the pile, we have no way of knowing what took root earlier and what took root later, because they all grew at different times. But when we're putting our pile together, we're putting our pile together after Rosh Hashanah, because the Gemar Pri was all after Rosh Hashanah. So he holds in that case, like Rav Shimon Shizuri, that you can mix them all up. Not because of Bila, but because of it all goes after Gemar Pri. Utzricha. Now, why do you need all three statements here of Shmuel? So let's just look at our three statements. We have Halachach Rav Shimon Shizuri, number one. Number two, we have Lakol Ein Bilach Chutz Miyayim B'Shemen. And number three, Hakol Alechachar Gmar Pri. These are all three statements that Shmuel said. So the question is, why do you need all three? So here I put in the chart, underneath each one, why you need that one. And then underneath two, why those two aren't sufficient against the third. Okay? That's what we're going to have. So, Utsricha. Di'iyash me'inan halachak Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. If they had just said, the halachas like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, havamina, what would you have thought? Mishum de kasavar yesh bila. That's what we assumed. When he said halachas for Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, we assumed that you can mix them up because yesh bila. Kamash malan, lakol ein bilach utzmiyayim v'shemen. Therefore, he has to come tell us, no, we don't hold by bila. The only time we hold by bila is yayim v'shemen. And therefore, when he said, I hold like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, it's only because of the Gemar Pri, and not because of Yesh Bila. Now, as you might have thought, because he said Alachak Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, the Yesh Bila, but no, it's not the case. V'iyash mu'ina l'kol ein Bila. What if he just told us there's no Bila except for Yayin B'Shemen? Havamina kiraban Sfirale. Kirabanan Sfirale. We would have thought he holds like Rabbanan, and you can't mix these new and the old ones, right? You would have thought, in the case of the Pula Mitzri, that they can't be mixed up. Amash malan, halachak Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, that you can mix them up. So on the one hand, we don't hold Bila, but on the other hand, you can mix them up, again, for a different reason. And that's the third reason, because I call it halachak Gmar Pri. V'iyash me'inan hane tarte. What if we just had halachak Rabbi Shimon Shizuri and makol ein Bila? Then we would infer what? We would know then, if Ein Bila, like Rabbanan, and he holds like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, we'd have to figure out, basically, that there was a different reason, and we come up with Hakol Alechachar Gmar Pri, because otherwise, we would be confused. So what does he say? Why isn't that sufficient? Why do you still need to tell us Hakol Alechachar Gmar Pri? So now they have an interesting explanation. They say, Hava Amina, what would I have thought? What would we have thought? Kasha Dishmuel Adishmuel. We would have thought that these are two contradictory statements, because we wouldn't have necessarily thought in our heads, oh, maybe there's this thing about Gmar Pri and he holds something totally different, it has nothing to do with Hashrasha. So therefore, they say, we would have thought that was a contradiction. These are two contradictory statements of Shmuel, and basically, there must be a mistake. So, kamash malan hakolo lechachar gvar pri, therefore, they bring the third day of Shmuel, the third statement, that says, no, hakolo lechachar gvar pri, and therefore, we hold like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri because of gvar pri, and against Hashrasha, and not because of Bila. Now, what if we just had hakolo lechachar gvar pri? Now, we're getting to the third one. What if we just had that? So, Hava Amina, what might you have thought? When it says Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri, it doesn't mean Hakol. I'm sorry, it means Hakol, sorry. It would mean if we had just Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri, what might you have thought? Everything goes after Gmar Pri. Remember, we had this statement that said that certain things are in a different category, like Tuan Zetim, right, and Yayin. What do we say? It goes by Shlish. So, if you have this statement that Shmuel says Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri, what might you think? Hakol is everything. Afilu, havamina afilu tvua b'zeitim nami. Kamash malan halachaka Rabbi Shimon Shizuri b'may depalik. In other words, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, that hakol olecha, that we hold hakol olecha gvar pri, and that comes to explain Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. But Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, in the case he was talking about, in what case was Rabbi Shimon Shizuri talking about? He was talking about kitniyo. He wasn't talking about tvua and zeitim. So if you have just the statement Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri, you might think it's a general statement and not relating to the specific issue. Once you have it relating to the specific issue, it becomes clear that it's just kitniyot and not other things. Now the last one. Okay, we're at the end of this long-winded talich. The Lishmi'inan Hanetarte. Why don't you say these two? Which two? Lakol Ein Bila Lamali. Why don't you have Halachah for Shimon Shizuri and Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri? And then what would we have had? We'd know that Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri is just relating to Kitniyot and not to the Tuan Zeitim. So why isn't that sufficient? So now the answer, Kamash, Lishmina Hanetar to Lakol Ein Bila Lamali, Ha Kamash Malan to Liyayim Veshemin Yesh Bila. Ah. If we didn't have that, what would we assume? That we hold like Chachamim that Ein Bila ever. And here it comes to teach us that no, since we hold like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, what did he say also? He said, Lakol Ein Bila Chutz Miyayim B'Shemen. That in Yayim B'Shemen, not Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri about the issue of Bila, right? What does he have? He has that. In the case of the Pul HaMitzri, right, and it was something else, Pul HaMitzri and, no, it was just Pul HaMitzri. In the issue of Pul HaMitzri, we go by, this is just a good summary, right, we can mix the whole pile together, right? Why can we mix them? Not because we can mix things, right? That's what Rabbi Shimon Shizuri said, we can mix things. But according to Shmuel, who holds like him, not because we can mix things, but because HaKol Holech HaChar Gmar Pri, right? Now, Hakol Lechachar Gmar Pri, again, they had to teach it, the Halachat Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, to teach us that not Hakol, but only Kitniyot, and things like the case, like the Pul HaMitzri. And then, why do you need to tell us Hakol Ein Bila Chutz Miyayim B'Shemen? To show that while it's true that we hold Lechachamim that Ein Bila, but we do hold Bila in particular case, and that's in Yayim B'Shemen. Even Chachamim who don't allow Bila would allow it in the case of liquids. So in the case of liquids that you have Hadash and Yasha mixed together, you're allowed to mix them all up really well and then take some and assume that you've covered your bases. But when it comes to Kitniyot, you can't. The only reason why you can here is because it goes by Gmar Pri and this whole pile was collected after Rosh Hashanah. It was only the Hashrasha that happened before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? There's a bit of a problem here. The problem here is that if you hold up Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in this Braita, the Braita basically is talking about the date of Rosh Hashanah being connected with Hashrasha, right? And Shmuel is taking it out of context and saying, while it's true, I put it this way. The Braita has two sections. One is the date it's given, right? It was Mashrish before Rosh Hashanah, it was Mashrish after Rosh Hashanah, and there's nothing you could do about it. That he doesn't hold by because he doesn't say there's nothing you could do about it in that case because the issue is in Hashrasha. So when Shmuel Paskins like him is really talking about the second part, which is so what do? His solution of mixing everything is what basically when he says Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, it's really talking about the end. You can mix everything, that works. Again, that works not because mixing is allowed, it works because in this case we don't hold by Hashrasha, we hold by Gmar Pri. Okay. Now we're going to bring in a braita. We're going to deal with this braita now. This braita is going to relate to dates and how it works. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. When you gather from your goren and your yakev, right, the wheat and the wine, now they're going to darshan on this. Ma goren v'yakev miyuchadim. What specifically is unique about goren and yakev? Shegedelim al me shana sha'avra u'mitasrim l'shana sha'avra. Av kol shegedelim al me shana sha'avra mitasrim l'shana sha'avra. Yes, u'yirakot shegedelim al me shana haba'a u'mitasrim l'shana haba'a. What does he tell you? Goren and Yekev, what's unique about them? They grow from rain. Now here we're going to get to the distinction. Why are trees, right? Trees go by Shvat, right? Either Aleph or Tu B'Shvat, right? We pass them Tu B'Shvat. But vegetables go by Rosh Hashanah. And why is that? By Tishrei. Why is that? Because the trees, what happens? A tree gets watered from the rainwater. Okay? So they are basically growing, and after a certain point, they grow based on last year's rainwater. If they're no longer, any rainwater that comes after that is not really relevant. The tree has a certain growth period, and that they get from the rainwater during the winter, and then they're done. The rainwater has come, and it's finished. So therefore, everything that's gdelim al me shana sha'avra, from last year's rain, gets masered from last year, because that's the main time of growth. But yirakot, if you stop watering a tree, basically, after a certain point, it'll grow by itself. If you stop watering plants, vegetables, it won't work. Okay? Ver gedelim al me shana ba'a. Okay? They'll dry out entirely. You need to keep watering them. And therefore, when you collect it, and you, right, when you do lakita, that's the later moment is the moment that's koveh, because it still needs those for their sustenance. It still needs the water. Now we're going to have another opinion which is very similar, and the Gemara is going to say what's exactly the difference. Rabbi Akiva Omer, v'as b'chami garnachami ikvecha. Ma gorim v'yekev miyuchadim shegedelim al rov mayim, u'mitasrim l'shana sha'avra. Ha'kol shegedelim al rov mayim, okay, as opposed to gedelim al me'shana sha'avra, here he's saying shegedelim al rov mayim. Mitasrim l'shana sha'avra, yatu yirakot shegedelim al kol mayim, u'mitasrim l'shana ba. Here he's making a distinction between things that live on rainwater and things that need additional watering, other waters besides just rainwater. So he says the fruit trees live mostly on rainwater. They sometimes get watered otherwise, but the main water they get is from the rainwater, whereas vegetables need extra water from other sources. And it's not enough for them just to get the rainwater. So he says, therefore, things that grow on mainly rainwater are mitasrim l'shana sha'avra, again, really for the same reason, because it mostly grew before. But things that need constant water and need water from other sources are mitasrim l'shana ba. So my benayu, now we have a difficult section. Difficult section because they're going to say, what's the difference? And whenever they say my benayu, they want to know, give me a case where the halacha will be different based on each person's opinion. The problem with this is that there's going to be two opinions about which way it goes. Okay? My benayo, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Bitzalim hasarisin. Okay, that what's a saris, right? Someone who can't have babies, right? A saris, a male. What's the word?
Eunuch.
Right, a eunuch. Or
eunuch.
Sterile.
Right, sterile.
Sterile.
However, right, more like he's sterile. So a batzal is sterile means it doesn't have flowers. It doesn't flower. There's two different opinions about why exactly it doesn't flower, but it's a certain type of onion. Upul hamitzri ikabenayu. These two just in those two cases, there's going to be a difference in halacha. Ditznan. Bitzalin hasarisin upul hamitzri shemanamehem mayim 30 yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah mit asrim l'sha'avar umutarim b'shvi'it. What happens is with these things, at a certain point you stop watering them. So if you at a certain point stop watering them for 30 days, okay, if it's 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, you stop watering it, then it's clear that it's basically done its growth before, because it no longer needs the rainwater. Right? So it's mitasrin l'shavar, and then it's mutarim b'shvi'it. In other words, if it was the sixth year going into the seventh year, then in the seventh year you're going to be allowed to eat this, because clearly it grew from the sixth year. That was when it did its growth. Vim lav, and if not, if you don't stop watering it, then it's asurim b'shvi'idim, it's asurim l'shana ba, because it's clear it still needs the rainwater. So now, Rashi has two interpretations. So if you could say that this proves Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that what makes these things unique, that they only grow on rainwater because you've stopped watering them and then they clearly don't need any rainwater, and that kind of shows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. There's another way of explaining it, according to Rabbi Akiva, which is, 1 second, I have to refresh my memory on it. You could say, right, Rabbi Akiva would. Why? Because since you're not watering them, right, because what does it show? This is talking about you didn't water them. You're monea mehemayim. If you're monea mehemayim, then clearly we're talking about watering from other rain sources. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili was only talking about rainwater. And Rabbi Akiva here matches the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is saying, the Mishnah is saying that if you stop watering it, extra water. So that's the issue. Does it get from extra water, or does it get just from rainwater? That's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and therefore this would match Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay. In any case, they try to basically come up with a case. In these one cases, there's a distinction between those two opinions.
So that's both of them. Because they both...
Because according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then this isn't just a rainwater issue. It also gets watered, and therefore, he said anything that gets watered by other sources would be next year's produce.
But both, no matter what, during these 30 days, the
it didn't get any
had
water.
To be rainwater.
Right.
So wouldn't this produce...
Well, that's why there's a difference of opinion, because people didn't know exactly how to match it up. It was confusing to them. Okay. What I want to point out here, though, is that what we do see, according to either of those opinions, which is a similarity, they both say that the rainwater source is what is koveh. That's what's important. So if we go back to our chart, the tree by Hanata, right? The tree, once it buds, that's the date of importance, because that's when it's already received most of its rainwater. And the water that it needed to survive. The Tuan, the Zaytin, once they've gotten a third of the way, it seems that for those products, for those items, a shlish is already. And for the Yerek, it's only at the Kitab, because it really needs the rainwater until the very end, and therefore it goes by when you collect it, when you gathered it. Okay. So now we're going to move to the final part of our Mishnah. Becha b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. Okay, on the first of Shvat, according to Beit Shammai, is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, and according to Beit Hillel, it's the 15th. My Taima, what's the reason? Why does this all of a sudden have its own, right? Until now, if you've noticed, anything that had to do with growth, vegetables, Shemitah, Yovel, all that was the Tishrei. So now they say why. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Ho'il v'yatzu rov gishmei shana, v'adayim rov tkufa mibachutz. What does he say? What's unique about Tu B'Shvat? Most of the rains have already fallen. Okay? Now, how do you get that exactly? It's a little confusing here how you get it. And then we'll get to it in 1 minute, okay? But Adayin Rov Tkufa Mibachutz, but you still have the majority of the winter season to go. So now they say, what does that mean? In other words, if you still have the majority of the winter season, why would you say that this is the Rosh Hashanah? So now they're saying, no, my kamar, what does this really mean? Hachi kamar. Af al pi sherov tkufam bibachutz, ho'il v'yatzu rov gishmei shana. They're saying, even though most of winter still hasn't come, okay? Now, I'll explain to you in a minute why most of winter still hasn't come. We still have gotten most of the rain. So the assumption here is that the rainy season is heavier in the beginning than at the end. Now, it's a little confusing here. Why? Because we have a calendar that goes only by the lunar, right? Goes by the lunar and the solar calendar. So there's two things at play here. One is what's called Tkufat Tevet, okay, which is winter, right? Which is basically from the shortest day of the year, right? December. It's usually December 20th or something, right? Mm-hmm. To January, February, March, right? To March. December 20th to March 20th. Then you have what's called Shvat, right? Shvat is in between, right? Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, Adar. right? So when it comes to the Hebrew month, Shvat is toward the end. When it comes to the Tkufat Tevet, it depends on the year and where exactly it comes out, right? Mm-hmm. It still could be toward the middle, but it's still a little bit questionable exactly where it falls out. So what they're saying is we still have most of Tkufat Tevet to go. We haven't necessarily hit the midpoint, but most of the rains have already happened. Also, since the rain started in Cheshvan, the assumption is that by Shvat, you've already gone through most of the rainy season.
Well, even Tevet.
Right, well, by Tevet also, right. Tevet, Shvat, Adar, right. It could be that we want to basically take in, I think in their assumption, we want it to be taken to Nisan. Because there's Tkufat Tevet and there's Tkufat Nisan. Mm-hmm. So Tevet, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, if you take those 4 months, Shvat is really before the midpoint. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a question. If you say it's like from Tevet till Nisan, you have to really say the Tkufat Tevet maybe starts a little before Tevet.
Maybe it was different then before global warming or something, but it's not like that anymore necessarily.
That most of the rains have happened
been
before
years,
Tu B'Shvat.
Yeah,
right.
Been years
but doesn't it also depend on Shnat Ibor?
So then also there's an issue about a Shnat Ibor. This comes up. I think it doesn't come up in the Gemara. I think it comes up in the Mepharshim. No, the Shnat Ibor really does come up here because then they say, what do you do about a Shnat Ibor?
Well,
I can't remember if it says it in the Mepharshim. I read this about.
It's going to affect the season.
I don't think it says it here, but basically, I can't remember again. Maybe we'll get. That's in the Gemara. I don't think it's in the Gemara.
It's after the midpoint.
But they say that if it's a Shnat Ibor, then basically you're saying that all the months are like a month earlier, and we need to. So they say that we go after Rosh Hashanah. We can't start switching things. You know, it's too confusing to 1 year have a Rosh Hashanah this date, another year have a Rosh Hashanah that date. So they basically, because of the Shnat Ibor, are not the majority of the years. They're 7 out of 19. So therefore, we don't go by the Shnat Ibor. We don't distinguish.
But it does matter because. The years before the Shnat Ibor are moving backwards in season. They're coming earlier and earlier. So the year of the Shnat, the year right after the Shnat Ibor, Shvat is going to be beyond, let's say, beyond
later,
it,
later
on.
Than usual. But this one is going to be much, much
but
earlier.
But the ones right before Adar, or, I mean, a year of Ibor, it's going to be
right.
Way, way early in the season of rain, let's say.
Right. The year
so
of the leap year, Shvat's
going
to be basically 3 to 4 weeks earlier than it should be.
But according to them, no matter what, they're saying it's Shvat. So
yes, that's what they're saying. We don't care. They don't care about the
year. Well, also, if you took an average, if you took all... You have more.
You can take an average,
like
but I think it's just you have to set a date. So on a regular year, they set the date based on a regular year, even if some years it might not come out exactly. Okay. So now, what do they say? Now we're going to bring a case that happened, and we're going to try to figure out how this works out. Now we're leaving the area of the tree versus the vegetables. We're going to go get now into a case that happened. With an etrog, and we're going to talk about some issues. Tana Rabbanan, Maseh Rabbi Akiva. There was a case, Rabbi Akiva, Shadikait Etrog. He collected etrogim. Here, they clearly assume we're not talking about one etrog. He picked fruits from an etrog tree. Be'echad b'shvat. V'nahag bo shnei isurim. Echad k'divrei Beit Shammai. Ve'echad k'divrei Beit Hillel. He took Maser Sheni and Maser Ani. Okay, that's what we mean by Shnei Yisurim. If they meant Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni, that would be normal, so there would be no reason to mention it. So what happened? We're basically standing in, right? Here's our chart, okay? I put it on the sheet also. We're in Shana Bet, okay? In the second year, then what happened? Hantu Perotav during the second year, okay? Right, they budded in the second year. Then we get to Aleph Bishvat, which according to Beit Shammai would be Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanot. Right? And he took two, then Shana Gimel starts, right? Sometime between, right, here's Aleph Bishvat and here's Tevav Bishvat, okay? Now, Shana Gimel starts from Tu B'Shvat, according to Beit Hillel. But what did he say? Maybe I hold like Beit Shammai, right? Which should be Machmir like Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and since this in-between part is a question mark, it might be Rosh Hashanah, it might be the third year, I'm going to take Maser Sheni and Maser Ani. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, that's Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Lo Minhag Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Nahag. He didn't do it because it was Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Machloket. He did it for a different reason. Ela Minhag Rabban Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer Nahagba. He was trying to be Machmir both like Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, if you remember, we learned this in Sukkah. Ditznan, Etrog shaveli ilam b'shloshad rachim uliyerek b'derech achad. If you remember, we talked about that an etrog tree is a little bit different from other trees. Shaveli ilam b'shloshad rachim leorla ulerivai uleshvit. Okay, it's judged like an ilan for orla, rivai, and shvit. Okay, it has the same dinim of an ilan. But liyerek b'derech achad shebishat lekitato isuro. What did we say? Most trees, right? All trees go after chanata. That's the moment that's kovea. But when it comes to mas, when it comes to the etrog, the mas here is determined by the lekita, by an etrog, and not by the chanata. Because they had a sense that the etrog was different. It had a different way of growing. There were some things that were different about it. We talked about them in Sukkah. And therefore, it's different. It's like a yerek. That's Rabban Gamliel. For Eliezer Omer, etrog shaveh le'ilan l'chol davar. Okay, and etrog is like an ilan for everything, and therefore it goes batar chanata. So now, what do you have? If he collected this on Aleph Shvat, right? So now, the question is, do you go batar chanata? Would you go batar lekita? And that was the issue. How do you determine the year based on chanata or lekita? We're going to see that there's a problem. Because, in any case, if you were liket here, so the lekita and the chanata, according to this picture, if you're saying Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah, right, then what's your problem? The chanita and the lekita both happened in the same year, so it doesn't make any sense. You understand? If you say this has nothing to do with Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, and really we hold like Beit Hillel that the Rosh Hashanah is Tu B'Shvat, he was on a Chav B'Shvat. Chantu Perotav earlier in the year, then he collected it on Aleph, which is still probably the same year, so it doesn't make any sense. So we're going to have to explain that further down the road. But now what we have between Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and now we're going to ask questions on each Shita. Tanakhama says he was machmir like Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. We're going to have a big problem with that. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says he was machmir like Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, which we're going to have another problem with that, which we already discussed. So let's see that inside. Umi avdinan ketrei chumre. Can you really hold like two chumrot? Vaha tanya la'olam. And here's a great statement, okay? La'olam halacha kedivrei Beit Hillel. Halacha is always like Beit Hillel. We know that, right? V'harotze la'asok kedivrei Beit Shammai oseh. Kedivrei Beit Hillel oseh. But everybody, if they decide personally, you want to hold like Beit Shammai, go for it. You want to hold like Beit Hillel, go for it. Whatever you want to do. Mikulei Beit Shammai, mikulei Beit Hillel rasha. If you take all the kulas of Beit Shammai, all the kulas of Beit Hillel, you're a rasha. Mikhumrei Beit Shammai, mikhumrei Beit Hillel. If you're going to take the chumrot of Beit Shammai and the chumrot of Beit Hillel, it's said about you, v'haksil b'choshech holech. Okay? It's like an idiot walking in the dark. Okay? You're basically, it's like you're blinding yourself, right? You're not doing like anything. Okay? You're just being machmir in all directions. Ela, I ke Beit Shammai b'kulehen u'b'chumrehen. I ke Beit Hillel b'kulehen u'b'chumrehen. Either you hold like Beit Shammai with all their kulot and all their chumrot, or you hold like Beit Hillel with all their kulot and all their chumrot. Okay, now, you might take this to think that it means that you have to take one approach of one rabbi and go with them all the way. But actually, the Mefarshim here, and Rashi explains that we're talking about in a particular case. That in one case, where if you take a chumrah of one and a chumrah of the other, right, there's a case where they're connected. Okay, I'll give you an example. We actually learned this case a while ago. You have there's a concept that if you have a part of a person's body, it's metame ba'ohel. Okay, it has to be like a part of their body. So if you have a shidra, okay, you have a backbone, right, the vertebrae of someone, okay, and it's missing a chulia, then according to Beit Hillel, it's not metame because it's already not a viable part of the body. So it's not metame, but oh, it doesn't make the whole ol tame if you have just a shidra with part of it missing. Beit Shammai holds no. Person can survive with one chulia missing. It's two chuliot that have to be missing. Okay, so Beit Shammai has a kula here. Okay, because he says two chuliot have to be missing in order to be metame ba'ol, and Beit Hillel says one chulia is enough. And then they say v'chein b'treifa. This is also with regards to a trefa. What does that mean? If an animal is missing one part of his chulia, but he's still functioning right now, then he's called a trefa. What's a trefa? It's an animal that's sick and about to die. So he's considered a trefa according to Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel, who's machmir, I'm sorry, wait. If it's missing one chulia, Beit Hillel's machmir here. And then in the trefa case, he would be considered, wait, okay, I'm obviously missing something because there would also be machmir here. One second. Kama chiseron shaloti tamei ba'oa. Beit Shammai rim shtei chulia. In order, right, sorry. Beit Hillel says, I'm sorry. In the tumah case, I said it wrong, or maybe I don't remember. But anyway, in the tumah case, as long as it's missing one chulia, already Beit Hillel says it's not mitame ba'ol. I said it the wrong way. As soon as Beit Hillel, I said the right number, but the wrong direction. As soon as it's missing one chulia, according to Beit Hillel is mekel here. He's mekel, and he says it's already missing one chulia. It's already not viable. It already can't be mitame ba'ol. That's not a full thing. But when it comes to trefa, if the animal's missing one chulia, it's already considered a trefa. But Beit Shammai says, no, one chulia can still survive, and therefore, if you find one chulia missing and it's in an ohel, it's going to be metameh, because that still can function. And therefore, their machmir would say only till you have two chulia. But when it comes to a trefa, Beit Shammai is going to be mekel and say that there, if it's missing one chulia, it's not a trefa, because it can still function. So that's a case where they're saying you can't take the chumras and kulas of both. In other words, you have to be consistent with their approach in that case. So here, if you try to say, I'm going to do masrot like Shana Bet and masrot like Shana Gimel, you're basically taking two contradictory opinions and sticking them together. That doesn't work. Okay? And therefore, you can't do that. So how could he possibly do this? So now they give a different interpretation. It wasn't that he was confused. It wasn't that he was paskening kuchumrei shnehem. It must not be that that was the case. What is it? Rabbi Akiva Gemara istepikle. He was confused about the Gemara. The Gemara here doesn't mean the Gemara. It means the Masoret, right? Because he was in the time of the Mishnah. There was no Gemara. Velo yada ibe tila ve'echa b'shvat ibe tebab b'shvat. He didn't know which opinion Beit Hillel held. It wasn't like he was saying, I'm going to be machmir like Beit Shammai, I'm going to be machmir like Beit Hillel. He was being machmir like Beit Hillel, he just didn't know. Does Beit Hillel say Aleph Shvat, or does Beit Hillel say Tefav Shvat? That was the issue. Okay, so now we've reread Tanakhana entirely. Now we're going to get to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda omer, lo minhag Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel nahagba, ela minhag Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar nahagba. That was just a quote. Okay, so now we're saying, according to this though, he must be saying, Becha b'shvat kebeit shamayin ahagva. If he was saying, are we going batar chanata, or we going batar likita, right? We're going to go by both. It has to be that in between the chanata of the pri and the likita of the pri was a year, was a change of a year, right? That the year changed. Now, if the year changed, that would only be, since this happened on the chab b'shvat, you would have to say that what? That you hold, like, that he held, like Beit Shammai, and then why did he do two Isurim? Because he was Machmir, whether you go by Chanata or whether you go by Lakita. Okay? And that's this, I put it here on the chart. Right? Shana Bet happens, it's two Bishvat. Then Chanchu Perotav. Then Aleph Bishvat, which is still Shana Bet LeBeit Hillel, he collects his fruits and treats it as if it's the third year. So it must be, according to this, that he's holding like Beit Shammai. How could that be? Because according to this story, everything happened in the second year, according to Beit Hillel. So there would be absolutely no reason for him to do both Isurim, take Master twice, on the second year and the third year. He's not even in the third year yet. So what do they say? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Beitem Rabbi Chananya, it was either Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Chananya, Hacha be'etrog shechantu perotav kodem tedvav de'idach shvat askinan. What were we talking about? Okay, here's the story. Look at the second chart I wrote here. Shana Bet comes in, tu b'shvat. Then chantu perotav. Then another year comes in, tu b'shvat, okay, of the third year comes in. And then at the end of that third year, we're talking about a period of almost 2 years this happened, right? At the end of the third year, before Tu B'Shvat, on Aleph Shvat, he collects it. Okay? And they said it's actually very typical for an etro tree that the fruits are, they have chanita at one point, but the likita is much, much longer. They stay on the tree for a very long time. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but I saw that explained somewhere. So basically, we're talking about a case where instead of being, at this point, we thought we were at the beginning of Shana Gimel, we're actually at the end of Shana Gimel. Okay? And Bimikre, it happened to be a Chabishvat. That was the day he collected them. Yeah, we thought the story was a Chabishvat because of this whole fight about that Chabishvat, Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Turns out that this case, according to this interpretation, okay, he says here, it was the Idach Shvat Askinan, Ubedin Hu, Afilu Kodim Lachem. It would have been the case even if he collected them in Kislev or in Cheshvan. In other words, it very likely the story could have happened then. Umaseh Shaya Kachaya, but this was what actually happened.
But don't you meet Etrogim in September? Is this the season?
It could be that they use Etrogim for other things. Oh. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to assume that.
Unlike most roots, Etrogim remain on the tree for 2, even 3 years.
Right, that's what they say. So, that's why also Etrog has a different category. Because if you go Batar Chanita, you're talking about by the time you pick your fruit, it's much, much later. Okay, so therefore they explain it that it was over a course of a few years, and we're talking about the very end of the third year, before Tu B'Shvat, and therefore we're trying to judge was it the second year where it was the Chanita happened, or the third year where it was actually picked. Okay. So now we've explained Beit Shammai, we've explained Tanakama, we've explained Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, but now we're going to give a second explanation for Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, how you can explain this in a different way. Ravina Amar Kroch Betane. Fold it or sandwich it and read it. Okay, what is he saying? He's really saying double it. Okay, what does it mean double it? Right, when you fold something, you get double. So what's he saying? He's saying that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, you think, is arguing with Tanakama about one thing, but really he's arguing about two things. He's saying, Lo be'echa b'shvat haya, ela tu b'shvat haya. V'lo minhag beit shamayu beit hilal nahagba, ela minhag rabban gamliel v'rabbi Elazar nahagba. He's saying you're wrong about two things. Number one, you're wrong about what we thought you were wrong about. This doesn't have to do with the machloka beit shamayu beit hilal. It has to do with rabban gamliel v'rabbi Elazar. Number two, you're wrong about the date. It wasn't, you thought this story happened on Chag B'Shvat, this story really happened on Tu B'Shvat. And as soon as you say that, you don't have to give this explanation that there was this big hefresh. You just say that the date they were discussing, the date that it happened was Tu B'Shvat, and it was the very first day of the next year. So that's a second way to explain it, which then is rereading the Tanaitic source. What's nice about the first one is you don't have to change anything. The source stays as it is, and you just explain it in a way that this happened over a course of time. But according to the second opinion, you have to change some words in the Braita, but okay, they do that a lot also. It's the Mishnah. Sorry. Okay. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna. Okay, now we're going to get into a halakha that's based on Rabban Gamliel. We're going to start with it today and finish up with it tomorrow. Hashida Amar Rabban Gamliel, etrog achar likitato isuro ki yerek. So if you hold like Rabban Gamliel, then an etrog goes like a yerek, that it counts by lakita and not chanita. So what would you say then? Rosh Hashanah shelo tishrei. He says, if you're going to go like Rabban Gamliel, then you're going to basically say that there's no difference in an etrog tree, right? An etrog is judged like vegetables. If an etrog is judged like vegetables, then the clock for the, right, the year is going to be in tishrei for an etrog tree. In other words, all other trees go batar chanita, and therefore their master year starts from Tu B'Shvat. But if this one is treated like a yerek, we're going to treat an etrog like a yerek all the way, and it's going to fall into the category of a yerek Rosh Hashanah Shelo Es Tishrei. So they say Meitive, but we have a koshi on this. Why? The Braita says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Liket Etrog Erev Tu B'Shvat Ad Shelo Tavo Hashemesh. If you gathered your etrog an Erev Tu B'Shvat before the sunset, and then you continue picking. This is an easier case, because first of all, not only, right, it's not, last time it was Rosh Hashanah. How could they be picking on Rosh Hashanah? Here, not only does it make sense, you could be obviously picking on Tu B'Shvat, maybe that was even a day that they specifically went out and picked. I don't know, we plant trees, maybe they also went and picked. Anyway, we know the halachic problem here. So, v'chazar v'liket mishetavo Hashemesh, ein torminu ma'asrin mizel zeh, Lepisha ain't chomino mastering, lomena chadash ala yashan, the lomena yashan ala chadash. Haitash li sheet nechneset leravid. If it was the third year going into the fourth year, shli sheet master rishon, umaster ani, verbiit master rishon, umaster shani, right? It's important to know, number one, you can't take master one on the other. And number two, which master are you doing? Is it master rishon or master shani? Now, what do they assume here? This has to be Rabban Gamliel's opinion. Why? Tell me why this has to be Rabban Gamliel. Because what's the case? What's determining the maser? Liket. It doesn't say Chanat. It says Liket. Uman Shamat Leida Azabatar Likita. Who's the one who goes by Likita? Rabban Gamliel. And what does it say here? What's the date? Bekatane Shvat. Okay? So we have a problem. If according to, again, who is this a problem for? Not really Rabban Gamliel. It's a problem for Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, based on the fact that Rabban Gamliel treats the Etrog tree as a Yerek, we're going to determine the Rosh Hashanah of a Yerek from Rosh Hashanah, just like the Yerakot. But here we have a Braita that says that the Etrog tree is going after Likita, like Rabban Gamliel, and not like Rabbi Eliezer, holds specifically like Rabban Gamliel, and yet the date that is determining when the new year is Tu B'Shvat. So we're going to have a problem. How do we relate to this? Okay, you'll have to wait with suspense till tomorrow. I know it's killing you, but you need to, you can read ahead.